The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple area and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and scribes, together with the elders, approached him and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is the one who gave you this authority?" He said to them in reply, "I shall ask you a question. Tell me, was John's baptism of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, then all the people will stone us, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know from where it came. Then Jesus said to them, "Neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things." Then he proceeded to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to tenant farmers, and then went on a journey for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenant farmers to receive some of the produce of the vineyard. But they beat the servant and sent him away empty-handed. So he proceeded to send another servant, but him they also beat and insulted and sent away empty-handed. Then he proceeded to send a third, but this one too they wounded and threw out. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I shall send my beloved son. Maybe they will respect him." But when the tenant farmers saw him, they said to one another, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may become ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and put those tenant farmers to death and turn over the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they exclaimed, "Let it not be so." But he looked at them and asked, "What then does this scripture passage mean? 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be dashed to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls.'" The scribes and chief priests sought to lay their hands on him at that very hour, but they feared the people, for they knew that he had addressed this parable to them. They watched him closely and sent agents pretending to be righteous who were to trap him in speech in order to hand him over to the authority and power of the governor. They posed this question to him, "Teacher, we know that what you say and teach is correct, and you show no partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful for us to pay tribute to Caesar or not?" Recognizing their craftiness, he said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and name does it bear?" They replied, "Caesar's." So he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were unable to trap him by something he might say before the people, and so amazed were they at his reply that they fell silent. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, 'If someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother.' Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the scribes said in reply, Teacher, you have answered well. And they no longer dared to ask him anything. Then he said to them, How do they claim that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself, in the book of Psalms, says, The Lord is my Lord. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now if David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? Then, within the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, Be on guard against the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and love greetings in marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation. The Gospel of the Lord. This is such an interesting chapter from St. Luke to reflect on this feast of St. Luke. There aren't really any narrative stories here, and at first glance, it could seem just like a bunch of bickering back and forth. Yet at the same time, the discussions of this chapter are all happening during Holy Week. We heard last week about Christ's entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and how he overturned the tables at the entrance of the temple, and then were propelled into this series of debates. So how does this fit into the bigger picture? Well, first, we have the chief priests and scribes together with the elders. They have just seen Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and after chiding him in an effort to get him to silence his disciples, he told them that even if the disciples were to be silent, the rocks would cry out. Then they see Christ overturn the money changers' tables. And yet they're still trying to figure out if he's a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord, as C.S. Lewis would describe it. And so they pose these questions to him, hoping that they might be able to figure out something and accuse him for something if he in fact is not the Lord. So they ask Jesus about what authority is behind his words and his deeds, how to sort through the relationship between Rome and Jerusalem, and about the resurrection and marriage. Yet Luke tells us that they were unable to trap him by something he might say before the people, and so amazed were they at his reply that they fell silent. But Jesus, knowing all things, especially the hearts of men, calls their bluff about the question of authority, breaks down any unnecessary opposition between Rome and Jerusalem, and speaks not only about how their question concerning marriage is the wrong one, but also about how they should in fact believe in the resurrection of the body. Furthermore, he then offers his own parables, which speak about himself as the cornerstone, and as both David's son and David's Lord. At first, these might seem like they are unrelated to the questions that he's being asked. And to some extent, that's true. They don't relate to the questions that are being verbalized. But on a deeper level, they relate to the more important questions, the ones not being verbalized, but that are percolating in the hearts. Are you the Messiah? And to that he responds, not only that he is the Messiah, but also that he is the Lord, that he is God. And he's saying this just before he manifests that for all to see in his passion, crucifixion, and death. In other words, in this 20th chapter from Luke, we see Christ putting pieces together at the beginning of Holy Week, seeking the conversion of the people whom he just lamented as he entered the holy city. and joining the various mysteries of Holy Week into a tapestry of grace, so that when he dies and when he rises, he might truly become the cornerstone of their hearts, so that in calling him Lord, they can find salvation. And this is all an invitation for us as well. How is it that we see Jesus? How is it that we relate to Jesus? Are we trying to split hairs in what we ask of him or in what we expect of him? We have a beautiful chance tonight to sit at his feet and to let him speak truth to our minds, to inflame our hearts with his love, to invite him to be the cornerstone of everything we do, and to truly be the Lord of our lives. So that when we too enter into the challenging moments in our own lives, when we experience our own very small Calvary moments, we might stand steadfast and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus, you who guide us on the path to truth and charity, you who reveal to us the plan for our salvation, you who invite us to a deeper conversion in life, all so that we can live in union with you. We come to adore you present before us in this most blessed sacrament, and we praise you, the cornerstone of the church and the Lord of all. We beg you to help us live in union with you, being shaped by your graces, so that any misunderstandings and confusions in our minds and any tepidity and frustrations in our hearts might be cleared up by your grace, so that having been transformed in this life, we might one day come to sit at a seat of honor in the heavenly Jerusalem as we come to the place of honor at your eternal banquet of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.